Sokala Duma Radio.
Hello and welcome to Sokala Duma Radio. And now there were four teams left in the global showpiece called the FIFA World Cup in Russia. It's England, Croatia, Belgium and France. Will make it to the final? Well, your guess is as bad as mine. In this World Cup update, we speak to Sokala Duma journalist Joe Kren, who is currently in Russia, about the upcoming semi-final fixtures. We also chat to Sokala Duma international editor David Capel about the results from the quarterfinals. He also speaks on his favorites to make it to the final. And finally, we hear from one of the English side's heroes, goalkeeper Jordan Pickford. So buckle up and enjoy the update.
Sokala Duma Radio.
How's it, Joe, man? How are you? Looks like you're enjoying your time in Russia. Tell us a bit about how it's been going for you over there so far.
Yeah, I mean, the trip's been fantastic. The Russians have been a whole heap of fun, been laughing, drinking, dancing with them. It's been a fantastic trip so far. They've been really, really welcoming. Obviously, the language is a little bit of a problem, but you find ways around that. I think football really helps in that sense. So from my side, I've loved it. I've obviously done St. Petersburg, which is one of the most beautiful cities I've ever been to, and now I'm in Samara, which is a nice little town down by the Volga River. It's been beautiful. The weather's great at the minute, and then tomorrow I'm off to Moscow. Got a big game coming up this week.
Yeah, you already spoke about, you know, the big game. You're from England. You're there to watch England. Tell us, is it coming home?
Honestly, I'm not so sure. I think there's been a lot of hype. There's been a lot of noise, rightly so. I mean, this is huge. From a young England team to have gotten this far in the tournament, regardless of who they've played, who they've faced, it's an incredible achievement. And England have been waiting a long time for this. And myself, I mean, I don't remember the last time we were in a World Cup semi-final. I was about 7 months old. So for me, it's huge. And to be here is just... is out of this world. I mean, like I said, we've been out with the Russians singing Three Lions, and the atmosphere here has just been fantastic. I think that the England fans have really done themselves a lot of good in terms of Russia, in terms of the relationships that have been made. I haven't seen any kind of animosity anywhere. It's been a whole heap of fun. But for this England team to be where they are, given the lack of experience in the side and the fact that there was so little expectations on them, I think to reach this part of the tournament, regardless of what happens now, to be honest, if we go out to Croatia this week, I still think it will be a hero's welcome back for a lot of the guys. Obviously, we want to go and win it now. And I think that at this point in this tournament especially, we've seen so many shocks. We've seen so many results that we didn't expect to happen. And if that keeps happening, and you never know. I mean, England, I think... we'll see Croatia as beatable, just like Croatia will see England as beatable. So, you know the margins that are there for a World Cup final, reaching one. It's gonna be a cracking game in Moscow. Looking forward to seeing Luzhniki for the first time. So, yeah, I'm really excited, and I think that even though I'm not 100% sure football's coming home, there is a chance.
Yeah, I mean, if, like you said, if you reach that stage of the tournament, there's a massive chance for any team now to take it home. But tell us a bit more, you know, about Gareth Southgate. I mean, when he was appointed, no one really trusted him. He was seen very critical, but now he's silenced all those critics, and, you know, he's made some interesting tactical decisions. He's focusing a lot of set pieces. Maybe you can also tell us a bit about the love train. I'd like to hear your view on it.
To be honest, I think one of the most important things about what Gareth Southgate has done is he's just brought this collective unity into the side. And I think that comes as part of him as a person. I think when you hear him talk, he's a very likeable bloke. He's a very nice guy. And I think when you hear him talk in his press conferences, I was there just after the quarterfinal win, and one of the things he did in that press conference was make sure he thanked everybody. Guys like Jake Livermore, even guys like Joe Hart. He said that if it wasn't for Joe Hart, England wouldn't be in the World Cup in the first place. So he's very good at bringing people together, and I think that's one thing he's done with his team. And I think, as you mentioned, he wasn't a particularly popular appointment. I think there was a lot of people who thought he was a little bit maybe too inexperienced, a little bit too bland maybe. But I mean, he's been phenomenal, and I think that this team wouldn't have got this far with another manager. I think that he knows England's youth setup. He was there for many years, obviously with the under-21s, and I think that's helped him. And there's also been a lot said about him as a player as well, and how he was very much like a sponge and always wanted to listen to people and learn. And I think that it's just a massive change for England to have not just a manager but an entire squad that is so likable and that is so I suppose un-England really. But and you said about the set pieces, I think that it's a fantastic string to have to their bow. I think it's obviously been something that's worked out really well in this World Cup, and you can see that they're not scoring from set pieces by accident. It's not done that's just a cross into the box and you hit and hope Harry Kane or Harry Maguire gets a big head on it. That's not how the way it's been working. So it is something that they've worked very hard on. And for me, I've been watching England for probably 20 years properly that I remember, and I don't remember an England team having such a plan. In the past, it has just kind of felt like they threw 11 players out onto the field and hoped for the best, really. Whereas now they have a structure, they have a tactical idea of what's going on, and they have a way of playing, they have a style. And that is, I think, what is most pleasing for me, is that, like I say, we have an England team that's got a plan for a change.
No, I couldn't agree more with you there, Joe. Before we sort of preview the game against Croatia, who would you say have been the standout performance in this England team for you so far? And why do you think Raheem Sterling received so much criticism back home?
To be honest, I think it's difficult to really pick out any standouts for this England team, because I think that their strength has really been in their collectiveness. And I think you got to look at every player in this side and say that everyone's had a role to play and played that role well up until this point. I think Jordan Pickford, obviously, has been superb, silenced a lot of people with his performances at this World Cup. Look at the back line. I think Kieran Trippier has been standout. I think his delivery has been superb throughout the entire tournament so far. Harry Maguire obviously done very, very well as well. And I think that whole back line has been solid for England. For me, Jordan Henderson has been top class. He's a very, very solid player, very composed, and he keeps things together for England. And I think that's been one of the reasons why we've been able to manage the games like we have, is because of him being there. I think, obviously, Harry Kane's scoring goals, but he's getting them from the spot. And I think his game has been a lot more than just scoring goals. He's contributed to a lot more around the field. But you mentioned Raheem Sterling, and it's difficult with Sterling because I genuinely think that if it wasn't for his inability to stay composed and finish in the box sometimes, I think he would be a genuinely world-class player. I think he's got so much in his locker. He's got so many talents. And if you look at his off-the-ball work and his off-the-ball running and the space that he creates for other people because of the way that he moves, I think he's been one of England's most important players in this tournament. And yeah, he hasn't scored. I think he just needs a tap in. He needs one just to get that monkey off his back a little bit. And I think that once that goal comes, he will be okay. But it is difficult for him because I don't know what it is. I don't know why people want to openly criticise Sterling so much. I think part of it started with the whole Man City move, the big money move that he made from Liverpool. And I think that a lot of people disliked him for that. And I think it kind of snowballed a little bit. But it's been tough for him. But for me, if you were to ask the Croatia coach, who, if of all the attackers he could take away from England and that he thought would benefit them the most, Raheem Sterling's probably one of them. So I think that's definitely a player that they will be looking out for. But like I say, for me, it's tough to really single out any England players, because I think that there's been patches of different games where they've all played their role very, very well.
Yeah, like you said, many of them have played very, very well. But now surely they will be tested against Croatia in the semi-final, who have really looked strong to me. Not that they have played the best football, but they always have a response. You know, whether they receive an extra time equalizer against Russia, they miss a late penalty against Denmark, they always find another response and they just make it through to the semi-final. But they also played 60 minutes more than England, you know, having to go through two extra time rounds before the semi-final. What's your sort of prediction? What do you expect from the game against Croatia?
You're spot on. I think it's they're a team that just seems to have sort of unlimited reserves. They just seem to keep going. It's incredible. I mean, to win two penalty shootouts on the bounce takes so much mental strength and so much character to get that over the line, especially when one of them is against the host nation that have literally taken it at the death back to take it back to penalties. I think that this Croatia team have been phenomenal in terms of the reserves that they've shown. I don't think they've played as good football as what a lot of people expected, myself included. I expected them to be a little bit more. I suppose I expect them to be a little bit more dominant in the games that they've played, but they have looked good, and like I say, that this tournament is all about being able to scrape through, and you do enough, and the fact that they have done enough twice now via a penalty shootout will give them so much confidence. And I mean, they're not short of quality. I mean, you look at guys like Rakitic and Modric, they have genuinely top class players in this side. I mean, they're playing for two of the best teams in the world, and have been massive grip for Croatia in this tournament, and they're surrounded by good players as well. But as you mentioned, they have had two extra times and two penalty shootouts, which is grueling. It does take its toll on the body, and I think that the fact that England managed to get the job done against Sweden without causing too much hassle for themselves, no injuries, there was no issues with suspensions, and I think that England will go into this side thinking they can get a result. But for me, the interesting thing is here, I think both teams will be just as confident. I don't think there's a for me anyway, I don't think there's a real underdog in this game. I think when you look at the two sides, like I say, both will see the other as a winnable game. And when you're looking towards the possible final with Belgium or France, when it comes to a World Cup final, that's very different. I think there will be a favourite in that one, given how the two legs of this tournament have been. But for me in this game, England Croatia, I think it's going to be very tight. It's going to be a very tactical game for me. I think there's going to be a lot of ball retention going on. I think both teams will be eager to make sure that they keep hold of the ball and try and build up slowly. I don't think it's going to be particularly open. I'm not sure how much of an enjoyable game of football it will be to watch, because you know what it's like when it gets to this stage of the tournament and it becomes very, very tense. But like I say, it's going to be a very tactical game, in my opinion. I think that both coaches have really done well for themselves this tournament, and I'm hoping that from my side that we get England going through, because as much as I still can't believe that it's coming home, I don't think I can get too excited about that. I'll be devastated if it ends this week.
Congratulations. And how far can you get? And did you imagine everything that's happening to you right now?
Yeah, we always said to each game as it comes, and we know our ability, and it's all about our togetherness. So I feel like if the togetherness is still there, which it is always, we control ability on the pitch, and That's why we won 2-0, kept a clean sheet, and we work hard as a team.
Hello, I'm Emmanuel Barandier from Agence France-Presse. I try to speak in English. You are spoiling the pleasure of the people who like to make bad jokes against English keepers. What's your comments on that?
No, I just work hard every day in training, and that's why I got a clean sheet tonight, because all the saves I make in training is to showcase on a match day, and I'll showcase I'm capable of making them saves, and it's a good performance.
You're walking in the footsteps of two great English goalkeepers now, Gordon Banks and Peter Shilton. There's been some great keepers that have never gone to a World Cup semi-final. Can you just put into words what that means to you?
Yeah, it's obviously good. Happy, I've had a good season, and this is what football's all about, being on the big stage. And I never put myself under any pressure or anything. I embrace the moment, and I play in the moment, and I feel strong, and nothing fazes me. I just want to be my best. The pitch is always going to be the same lines, same goal height. It's just a game of football.
Hi, Jordan. Well done.
Yeah.
You don't seem to feel any pressure. You seem to enjoy every single game you've played. Would that be fair, even after all the criticism you've received after Belgium?
I always enjoy my football. I train hard every day in the gym, on the pitch, to show my performances, what I can do on a match day, and going out on the big stage, it makes it even better. And no, I don't, criticism doesn't affect me, it just makes me want to be better.
We now joined on the line by Soccer Laduma's very own international editor, David Capel. David, thank you very much for joining us. The quarterfinals are past us. We now have four teams in the semifinals. That's England versus Croatia, France versus Belgium. Your impression on the quarterfinals? Were there any upsets, any major surprises? I suppose we knew that sooner or later Russia was going to have to go.
Yeah, Russia played a brilliant tournament. No one even gave them a chance to make it out of group stages. They were the lowest ranked team going into the tournament. But they just really surprised. You know, they played nice attacking football. When it came to the later stages, of course, I mean, their players and their squad is a bit limited. So they had to use some tactical changes to go past Spain, which they also did really well. And I mean, they were just two missed penalties away from reaching the semifinals. So I think we have to take our hat off to them. They were brilliant hosts and they made the tournament richer for that. For me, an upset or surprise was that Brazil went out to Belgium. I honestly thought Brazil looked like if they were getting better and better throughout the tournament. I thought they would reach the final. Roberto Martinez just, you know, came up with a brilliant tactical plan using Romelu Lukaku on the right. To open that space for their dangerous counter-attacks. And Brazil just couldn't cope with them in the first half. They still had many, many chances in the second half to at least, draw level and reach extra time, but it wasn't meant to be. And now it's going to be interesting because with France and England, we have two former World Cup winners in the semi-final, and Belgium and Croatia have never lifted a trophy. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see
which team will survive. I suppose the other underlying theme going into the quarterfinals was that seven teams were Europeans and only one South American in Brazil, and now we have an all-European four teams in the semifinals. In terms of the strength of the European sides, for you, does it come as a surprise that we now have four of them in the last four?
It doesn't really come as a surprise. I mean, I think European sides are the most tactically drilled sides. They play very, very competitive football year in, year out. You know, at the Euros, the level is quite high. In the qualification, the best sides often meet each other very often. I was surprised, to be honest with you, obviously that Argentina went out quite early in the tournament. They didn't look as good as many expected them to be. Uruguay made a decent run into the quarterfinal, but obviously they were a bit limited with Edinson Cavani being injured. We always knew that France was going to dominate that quarterfinal with Cavani being out. And Brazil was, so to speak, South America's last hope. They did really well in the qualifiers. They only lost one game. They were the first side to qualify. I think many people expected them to be better throughout the whole tournament, in particular Neymar. But I think we mustn't forget that he was injured 3 months going into the tournament. He didn't play any club football since February, I think. And you could see that he was not 100% fit. Whenever someone touched his ankle, you know, where he had the injury, he was laying on the floor as if he was dying. All of that played a role in Brazil not going any further, because I think from a talent point of view, they definitely had a better side than they had 4 years ago. They definitely had a better coach than they had 4 years ago. But, you know, it was just against Belgium, one of those games where luck, a bit of luck was also more on Belgium's side. So, yeah, now we have the Euros to finish off the World Cup. And it's going to be interesting to see which of the four teams is going to lift the trophy. What I can tell you is it will be fine margins that will decide now, because all these four teams, they know each other really well. They meet each other on a regular basis. So, you know, it's can be tactical twists, as we have seen, you know, for the England side, who've done really well from set pieces. After Gareth Southgate actually went in February, I think, to watch some NBA games, because he wanted to find out how to create space, you know, in a small court, how to create space in the box on a football pitch. And they have been implementing that really to perfection. And you have France, who probably have the strongest squad left in the tournament.
Just before you continue, Dave, let's actually now go get the ball rolling with regards to France versus Belgium. I know that between you and journalist Sokola Duma, journalist Joe Cran, you spoke Russia, you spoke Croatia and England. Now let's speak to Belgium versus France. Of course, these teams, both of these teams, had the most difficult end of the draw. They had to eliminate teams like Brazil, teams like Uruguay, and so on and so forth. And people consider it as a final before the final. Before I let you go, please take us through that game, the other semi-final, France versus Belgium. Your expectations, I mean, Thierry Henry won the 1998 World Cup with France, is now with Belgium on the bench. Roberto Martinez usually is ridiculed largely because of his unsuccessful stint at Everton, but he's coming through now with a Belgian team that is in the semi-finals. So let's talk about those teams quickly.
I think you said it already. It is sort of the final, before the final, because both teams have been brilliant in their own strides, you know, going to the tournament. Belgium, they scored the most goals in the tournament. They have impressed, you know, through their, you know, very refreshing counter-attacking football. With Eden Hazard, Kevin De Bruyne and Romelu Lukaku, they have, like, really, I'd say, the best front line in the tournament. And Roberto Martinez, yes, he has been ridiculed at Everton, but I think it also shows a bit the short sightedness of club football, because he's done really well at his previous clubs, and then he got a bigger budget and a bigger club with Everton. Maybe they should have given him a bit more time, because clearly since he's left, they definitely haven't done better than when he was there. And he has shown throughout the tournament he can make tactical switches. You know, in the game against England, he feels a B-side to give his players a bit of rest. Maybe they also wanted to end up in the other side of the draw. But now they're in the better half. They didn't play well or start well against Japan, but yet he made two subs and both of them scored off the bench and turned that game around. And then in the quarterfinal against Brazil, almost everyone still had Brazil as the favorite. But he changed his lineup slightly. You know, it wasn't Lukaku leading the line from the front. He played that more on the right side. And De Bruyne was pushed further forward with Fellaini coming into the midfield. So he's shown that, you know, there is more to him than a lot of people think from a technical point of view. France, on the other hand, they were always going to be among my four semi-finalists because they have just so much quality in their squad. If you look at Kylian Mbappe, I mean, he came to the show when he scored a brace against Argentina, you know, where he could exploit the space in a very open Argentina defense. You know, he's just phenomenal at just 19 years old. Griezmann didn't really have the best of tournaments, but he stepped up whenever they need him, as we've seen in the quarterfinal against Uruguay. Their defense looks very solid. Personally, I still believe, when it comes to the coaching point of view, Didier Deschamps, in my personal opinion, is not the best coach left in the tournament. Because this France side, with the talent they have, you know, your Pogba, your Volkante, you can basically make any one of the starting 11. They should go a lot easier through the tournament because they have grinded out results. You know, they haven't really impressed with beautiful attack football. They got the results, and that's what's needed in a tournament like this. But a lot of people, including me, expected them to play a better style of football. And it's going to be very interesting to see now whether Martinez and Belgium have enough to, you know, basically upset the next favorite. Because for me, France with the squad they have, they still are the favorite. in this tie and even to lift the title.
All right. That is pretty much that. Dave, thank you very much for your analysis. Of course, wish the teams the best of luck in the upcoming semifinals. And we hope to hear from you before the actual final. Thank you very much for your time.
Always a pleasure talking to you. Soccer La Duma
Radio. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. For now, it's goodbye.
Soccer La Duma Radio. Soccer La Duma Radio.